Section 2. Driving Safely. This section covers vehicle inspection, basic control of your vehicle, shifting gears, seeing, communicating, space management, controlling your speed, seeing hazards, distracted driving, aggressive drivers and road rage, night driving, driving in fog, winter driving, hot weather driving, railroad highway crossings, mountain driving, driving emergencies, anti-lock braking systems, skid control and recovery, accident procedures, fires, alcohol, other drugs, and driving, staying alert and fit to drive, hazardous materials rules. This section contains knowledge and safe driving information that all commercial drivers should know. You must pass a test on this information to get a CDL. This section does not have specific information on air brakes, combination vehicles, doubles, or passenger vehicles. When preparing for the pre-trip inspection test, you must review the material in Section 11 in addition to the information in this section. This section does have basic information on hazardous materials, hazmat, that all drivers should know. If you need a hazmat endorsement, you should study Section 9. 2.1. Vehicle Inspection. 2.1.1. Why Inspect? Safety is the most important reason you inspect your vehicle, safety for yourself and for other road users. A vehicle defect found during an inspection could save you problems later. You could have a breakdown on the road that will cost time and dollars, or even worse, a crash caused by the defect. Federal and state laws require that drivers inspect their vehicles. Federal and state inspectors also may inspect your vehicles. If they judge the vehicle to be unsafe, they will put it out of service until it is fixed. 2.1.2. Types of Vehicle Inspection. Pre-trip Inspection. A pre-trip inspection will help you find problems that could cause a crash or breakdown. During a trip. For safety, you should watch gauges for signs of trouble. Use your senses to check for problems. Look, listen, smell, feel. Check critical items when you stop. Tires, wheels and rims, brakes, lights and reflectors, brake and electrical connections to trailer, trailer coupling devices, cargo securement devices. After-trip inspection and report. You should do an after-trip inspection at the end of the trip, day, or tour of duty on each vehicle you operated. It may include filling out a vehicle condition report listing any problems you find. The inspection report helps a motor carrier know when the vehicle needs repairs. 2.1.3. What to look for. Tire problems. Too much or too little air pressure. Bad wear. You need at least 4/32 inch tread depth in every major groove on front tires. You need 2/32 inch on other tires. No fabric should show through the tread or sidewall. Cuts or other damage. Tread separation. Dual tires that come in contact with each other or parts of the vehicle. Mismatched sizes. Radial and bias ply tires used together. Cut or cracked valve stems. Regrooved, recapped, or retreaded tires on the front wheels of a bus. These are prohibited. Wheel and rim problems. Damaged rims. Rust around wheel nuts may mean the nuts are loose. Check tightness. After a tire has been changed, stop a short while later and recheck tightness of nuts. Missing clamps, spacers, studs, or lugs means danger. Mismatched, bent, or cracked lock rings are dangerous. Wheels or rims that have had welding repairs are not safe. Bad brake drums or shoes. Cracked drums. Shoes or pads with oil, grease, or brake fluid on them. Shoes worn dangerously thin, missing, or broken. Steering system defects. Missing nuts, bolts, cotter keys, or other parts. Bent, loose, or broken parts such as steering column, steering gearbox, or tie rods. If power steering equipped, check hoses, pumps, and fluid level. Check for leaks. Steering wheel play of more than 10 degrees, approximately 2 inches movement at the rim of a 20-inch steering wheel, can make it hard to steer. Figure 2.1 illustrates a typical steering system. Picture on page 2-2, figure 2.1, steering system. Highlighted items, steering wheel, tie rod, steering shaft, power steering cylinder, steering arm, hydraulic fluid reservoir, gearbox, pitman arm, drag link, steering knuckle, spindle. Continuing with the text. Suspension system defects. The suspension system holds up the vehicle and its load. It keeps the axles in place. Therefore, broken suspension parts can be extremely dangerous. Look for spring hangers that allow movement of axle from proper position. See figure 2.2. Cracked or broken spring hangers. Missing or broken leaves in any leaf spring. If 1/4 or more are missing, it will put the vehicle out of service, but any defect could be dangerous. See figure 2.3. Figure 2.3 appears on page 2-3. Continuing with the text. Broken leaves in a multi-leaf spring or leaves that have shifted so they might hit a tire or other part. Leaking shock absorbers. Torque rod or arm, U-bolts, spring hangers, or other axle positioning parts that are cracked, damaged, or missing. Air suspension systems that are damaged and or leaking. See figure 2.4. Figure 2.4 appears on page 2-3. Continuing with the text. Loose, cracked, or missing frame members. Picture on page 2-2, figure 2.2, key suspension parts. Highlighted items, hydraulic shock absorber, vehicle frame, front axle hanger, leaf spring, frame, bearing plates, torque rod, axle, main spring, auxiliary spring, spring shackle. Continuing with the text. Picture on page 2-3, figure 2.3, safety defect, broken leaf in spring. Highlighted items, broken leaf, main spring, axle. Picture on page 2-3, figure 2.4, air suspension parts. Highlighted items, height control valve, shock absorber, frame reinforcement, upper bellows support, spacer, bracket, clamp bolt, U-bolts, bellows, I-bolt, control arm, anchor plate, axle seat, lower bellows support. Arrow points to front. Continuing with the text. Exhaust system defects. A broken exhaust system can let poison fumes into the cab or sleeper berth. Look for loose, broken, or missing exhaust pipes, mufflers, tailpipes, or vertical stacks. Loose, broken, or missing mounting brackets, clamps, bolts, or nuts. Exhaust system parts rubbing against fuel system parts, tires, or other moving parts of vehicle. Exhaust system parts that are leaking. Emergency equipment. Vehicles must be equipped with emergency equipment. Look for fire extinguisher or extinguishers. Spare electrical fuses, unless equipped with circuit breakers. Warning devices for parked vehicles. For example, 3 reflective warning triangles. Cargo, trucks. You must make sure the truck is not overloaded and the cargo is balanced and secured before each trip. If the cargo contains hazardous materials, you must inspect for proper papers and placarding. 2.1.4, CDL pre-trip vehicle inspection test. In order to obtain a CDL, you will be required to pass a pre-trip vehicle inspection test. You will be tested to see if you know whether your vehicle is safe to drive. You will be asked to do a pre-trip inspection of your vehicle and explain to the examiner what you would inspect and why. The following 7-step inspection method should be useful. 2.1.5, 7-step inspection method. Method of inspection. You should do a pre-trip inspection the same way each time, so you will learn all the steps and be less likely to forget something. However, sequencing may vary on test day. Approaching the vehicle. Notice general condition. Look for damage or vehicle leaning to one side. Look under the vehicle for fresh oil, coolant, grease, or fuel leaks. Check the area around the vehicle for hazards to vehicle movement. People, other vehicles, objects, low-hanging wires, limbs, etc. Vehicle Inspection Guide. Step 1, Vehicle Overview. Review last vehicle inspection report. Drivers may have to make a vehicle inspection report in writing each day. The motor carrier must repair any items in the report that affect safety and certify on the report that repairs were made or were unnecessary. You must sign the report only if defects were noted and certified to be repaired or not needed to be repaired. Step 2. Check engine compartment. Check that the parking brakes are on and/or wheels chocked. You may have to raise the hood, tilt the cab, secure loose things so they don't fall and break something, or open the engine compartment door. Check the following. Engine oil level. Coolant level in radiator, condition of hoses. Power steering fluid level, hose condition, if so equipped. Windshield washer fluid level. Battery fluid level, connections, and tie-downs. Battery may be located elsewhere. Automatic transmission fluid level. May require engine to be running. Check belts for tightness and excessive wear. Alternator, water pump, air compressor. Learn how much give the belt should have when adjusted right and check each one. Leaks in the engine compartment. Fuel, coolant, oil, power steering fluid, hydraulic fluid, battery fluid. Cracked, worn electrical wiring insulation. Lower and secure hood, cab, or engine compartment door. Step 3. Start engine and inspect inside the cab. Get in and start engine. Make sure parking brake is on. Put gear shift in neutral, or park if automatic. Start engine, listen for unusual noises. If equipped, check the anti-lock braking system, ABS, indicator lights. Light on dash should come on and then turn off. If it stays on, the ABS is not working properly. For trailers only, if the yellow light on the left rear of the trailer stays on, the ABS is not working properly. Look at the gauges. Oil pressure should come up to normal within seconds after engine is started. See Figure 2.5. Picture on page 2-4, Figure 2.5, oil pressure. Idling, 5 through 20 PSI. Operating, 35 through 75 PSI. Low, dropping, fluctuating, stop immediately. Without oil, the engine can be destroyed rapidly. Continuing with the text. Air pressure. Pressure should build from 50 to 90 PSI within 3 minutes. Build air pressure to governor cutout, usually around 120 through 140 PSI. Know your vehicle's requirements. Ammeter and/or voltmeter should be in normal range or ranges. Coolant temperature should begin gradual rise to normal operating range. Engine oil temperature should begin gradual rise to normal operating range. Warning lights and buzzers, oil, coolant, charging circuit warning, and anti-lock brake system lights should go out right away. Check condition of controls. Check all of the following for looseness, sticking, damage, or improper setting: steering wheel, clutch, accelerator, gas pedal, brake controls, foot brake, trailer brake if vehicle has one, parking brake, retarder controls if vehicle has them, transmission controls, interaxle differential lock if vehicle has one, horn or horns, windshield wiper and washer, lights, headlights, dimmer switch, turn signal, four-way flashers, parking, clearance, identification, marker switch or switches. Check mirrors and windshield. Inspect mirrors and windshield for cracks, dirt, illegal stickers, or other obstructions to seeing clearly. Clean and adjust as necessary. Check emergency equipment. Check for safety equipment. Spare electrical fuses, unless vehicle has circuit breakers. 3 red reflective triangles. Properly charged and rated fire extinguisher. Check for optional items such as chains, where winter conditions require, tire changing equipment, list of emergency phone numbers, accident reporting kit, packet. Check seat belt. Check that the seat belt is securely mounted, adjusts, latches properly, and is not ripped or frayed. Step 4. Turn off engine and check lights. Make sure the parking brake is set, turn off the engine, and take the key with you. Turn on headlights, low beams, and four-way emergency flashers and get out of the vehicle. Step 5. Do walk-around inspection. Go to front of vehicle and check that low beams are on and both of the four-way flashers are working. Push dimmer switch and check that high beams work. Turn off headlights and four-way emergency flashers. Turn on parking, clearance, side marker, and identification lights. Turn on right turn signal and start walk-around inspection. General, walk around and inspect. Clean all lights, reflectors, and glass as you go along. Left front side. Driver's door glass should be clean. Door latches or locks should work properly. Left front wheel. Condition of wheel and rim. Missing, bent, broken studs, clamps, lugs, or any signs of misalignment. Condition of tires. Properly inflated, valve stem and cap okay, no serious cuts, bulges, or tread wear. Use wrench to test rust-streaked lug nuts, indicating looseness. Hub oil level okay, no leaks. Left front suspension. Condition of spring, spring hangers, shackles, U-bolts. Shock absorber condition. Left front brake. Condition of brake drum or disc. Condition of hoses. Front. Condition of front axle. Condition of steering system. No loose, worn, bent, damaged, or missing parts. Must grab steering mechanism to test for looseness. Condition of windshield. Check for damage and clean if dirty. Check windshield wiper arms for proper spring tension. Check wiper blades for damage, stiff rubber, and securement. Lights and reflectors. Parking, clearance, and identification lights clean, operating, and proper color, amber at front. Reflectors clean and proper color, amber at front. Right front turn signal clean, operating, and proper color, amber or white on signals facing forward. Right side. Right front, check all items as done on left front. Primary and secondary safety cab locks engaged, if cab over engine design. Right fuel tank or tanks. Securely mounted, not damaged or leaking. Fuel crossover line secure. Tank or tanks contain enough fuel. Cap or caps on and secure. Condition of visible parts. Rear of engine, not leaking. Transmission, not leaking. Exhaust system, secure, not leaking, not touching wires, fuel, or airlines. Frame and cross members, no bends or cracks. Airlines and electrical wiring, secured against snagging, rubbing, wearing. Spare tire carrier or rack not damaged, if so equipped. Spare tire and or wheel securely mounted in rack. Spare tire and wheel adequate, proper size, properly inflated. Cargo securement, trucks. Cargo properly blocked, braced, tied, chained, etc. Header board adequate, secure, if required. Sideboards, stakes strong enough, free of damage, properly set in place, if so equipped. Canvas or tarp, if required, properly secured to prevent tearing, billowing, or blocking of mirrors. If oversized, all required signs, flags, lamps, and reflectors, safely and properly mounted and all required permits in driver's possession. Curbside cargo compartment doors in good condition, securely closed, latched or locked, and required security seals in place. Right rear. Condition of wheels and rims. No missing, bent, or broken spacers, studs, clamps, or lugs. Condition of tires. Properly inflated, valve stems and caps okay, no serious cuts, bulges, tread wear, tires not rubbing each other, and nothing stuck between them. Tires same type, e.g. not mixed radial and bias types. Tires evenly matched, same sizes. Wheel bearing and seals not leaking. Suspension. Condition of spring or springs, spring hangers, shackles, and U-bolts. Axle secure. Powered axle or axles not leaking lube, gear oil. Condition of torque rod arms, bushings. Condition of shock absorber or absorbers. If retractable axle equipped, check condition of lift mechanism. If air-powered, check for leaks. Condition of air ride components. Brakes. Brake adjustment. Condition of brake drum or drums or discs. Condition of hoses. Look for any wear due to rubbing. Lights and reflectors. Side marker lights clean, operating, and proper color, red at rear, others amber. Side marker reflectors clean and proper color, red at rear, others amber. Rear. Lights and reflectors. Rear clearance and identification lights clean, operating, and proper color, red at rear. Reflectors clean and proper color, red at rear. Tail lights clean, operating, and proper color, red at rear. Right rear turn signal operating and proper color, red, yellow, or amber at rear. License plate or plates present, clean, and secured. Splash guards present, not damaged, properly fastened, not dragging on ground or rubbing tires. Cargo secure, trucks. Cargo properly blocked, braced, tied, chained, etc. Tailboards up and properly secured. End gates free of damage, properly secured in stake sockets. Canvas or tarp, if required, properly secured to prevent tearing, billowing, or blocking of either the rearview mirrors or rear lights. If over length or over width, make sure all signs and or additional lights or flags are safely and properly mounted and all required permits are in driver's possession. Rear doors securely closed, latched, and locked. left side. Check all items as done on right side, plus battery or batteries, if not mounted in engine compartment, battery box or boxes securely mounted to vehicle, box has secure cover, battery or batteries secured against movement, battery or batteries not broken or leaking, fluid in battery or batteries at proper level, except maintenance-free type, cell caps present and securely tightened, except maintenance-free type, vents in cell caps free of foreign material, except maintenance-free type. Step 6. Check signal lights. Get in and turn off lights. Turn off all lights. Turn on stop lights. Apply trailer handbrake or have a helper put on the brake pedal. Turn on left turn signal lights. Get out and check lights. Left front turn signal light clean, operating, and proper color, amber or white on signals facing the front. Left rear turn signal light and both stop lights clean, operating, and proper color, red, yellow, or amber. Get in vehicle. Turn off lights not needed for driving. Check for all required papers, trip manifests, permits, etc. Secure all loose articles in cab. They might interfere with operation of the controls or hit you in a crash. Start the engine. Step 7. Start the engine and check. Test for hydraulic leaks. If the vehicle has hydraulic brakes, pump the brake pedal 3 times. Then apply firm pressure to the pedal and hold for 5 seconds. The pedal should not move. If it does, there may be a leak or other problem. Get it fixed before driving. If the vehicle has air brakes, do the checks described in sections 5 and 6 of this manual. Brake system. Test parking brake or brakes. Fasten seat belt. Set parking brake, power unit only. Release trailer parking brake, if applicable. Place vehicle into a low gear. Gently pull forward against parking brake to make sure the parking brake holds. Repeat the same steps for the trailer with trailer parking brake set and power unit parking brakes released, if applicable. If it doesn't hold vehicle, it is faulty. Get it fixed. Test service brake stopping action. Go about 5 miles per hour. Push brake pedal firmly. Pulling to one side or the other can mean brake trouble. Any unusual brake pedal feel or delayed stopping action can mean trouble. If you find anything unsafe during the pre-trip inspection, get it fixed. Federal and state laws forbid operating an unsafe vehicle. 2.1.6, inspection during a trip. Check vehicle operation regularly. You should check instruments, air pressure gauge if you have air brakes, temperature gauges, pressure gauges, ammeter or voltmeter, mirrors, tires, cargo covers, lights. If you see, hear, smell, or feel anything that might mean trouble, check it out. Safety inspection. Drivers of trucks and truck tractors when transporting cargo must inspect the securement of the cargo within the first 50 miles of a trip and every 150 miles or every 3 hours, whichever comes first, after. 2.1.7. After trip inspection and report. You may have to make a written report each day on the condition of the vehicle or vehicles you drove. Report anything affecting safety or possibly leading to mechanical breakdown. Subsection 2.1, test your knowledge. The vehicle inspection report tells the motor carrier about problems that may need fixing. Keep a copy of your report in the vehicle for 1 day. That way, the next driver can learn about any problems you have found. 1. What is the most important reason for doing a vehicle inspection? 2. What things should you check during a trip? 3. Name some key steering system parts. 4. Name some suspension system defects. 5. What 3 kinds of emergency equipment must you have? 6. What is the minimum tread depth for front tires? For other tires? 7. Name some things you should check on the front of your vehicle during the walk-around inspection. 8. What should wheel bearing seals be checked for? 9. How many red reflective triangles should you carry? 10. How do you test hydraulic brakes for leaks? 11. Why put the starter switch key in your pocket during the pre-trip inspection? These questions may be on your test. If you can't answer them all, reread subsection 2.1. 2.2. Basic control of your vehicle. To drive a vehicle safely, you must be able to control its speed and direction. Safe operation of a commercial vehicle requires skill in accelerating, steering, stopping, braking safely. Fasten your seatbelt when on the road. Apply the parking brake when you leave your vehicle. 2.2.1. Accelerating. Don't roll back when you start. You may hit someone behind you. If you have a manual transmission vehicle, partly engage the clutch before you take your right foot off the brake. Put on the parking brake whenever necessary to keep from rolling back. Release the parking brake only when you have applied enough engine power to keep from rolling back. On a tractor trailer equipped with a trailer brake hand valve, the hand valve can be applied to keep from rolling back. Speed up smoothly and gradually so the vehicle does not jerk. Rough acceleration can cause mechanical damage. When pulling a trailer, rough acceleration can damage the coupling. Speed up very gradually when traction is poor, as in rain or snow. If you use too much power, the drive wheels may spin. You could lose control. If the drive wheels begin to spin, take your foot off the accelerator. 2.2.2. Steering. Hold the steering wheel firmly with both hands. Your hands should be on opposite sides of the wheel. If you hit a curb or a pothole, chuck hole, the wheel could pull away from your hands unless you have a firm hold. 2.2.3. Stopping. Push the brake pedal down gradually. The amount of brake pressure you need to stop the vehicle will depend on the speed of the vehicle and how quickly you need to stop. Control the pressure so the vehicle comes to a smooth, safe stop. If you have a manual transmission, push the clutch in when the engine is close to idle. 2.2.4. Backing safely. Because you cannot see everything behind your vehicle, backing is always dangerous. Avoid backing whenever you can. When you park, try to park so you will be able to pull forward when you leave. When you have to back, here are a few simple safety rules. Start in the proper position. Look at your path. Use mirrors on both sides. Back slowly. Back and turn toward the driver's side whenever possible. Use a helper whenever possible. These rules are discussed in turn below. Start in the proper position. Put the vehicle in the best position to allow you to back safely. This position will depend on the type of backing to be done. Look at your path. Look at your line of travel before you begin. Get out and walk around the vehicle. Check your clearance to the sides and overhead, in and near the path your vehicle will take. Use mirrors on both sides. Check the outside mirrors on both sides frequently. Get out of the vehicle and check your path if you are unsure. Back slowly. Always back as slowly as possible. Use the lowest reverse gear. That way you can more easily correct any steering errors. You can also stop quickly if necessary. Back and turn toward the driver's side. Back to the driver's side so you can see better. Backing toward the right side is very dangerous because you can't see as well. If you back and turn toward the driver's side, you can watch the rear of your vehicle by looking out the side window. Use driver side backing, even if it means going around the block to put your vehicle in this position. The added safety is worth it. Use a helper. Use a helper when you can. There are blind spots you can't see. That's why a helper is important. The helper should stand near the back of your vehicle where you can see the helper. Before you begin backing, work out a set of hand signals that you both understand. Agree on a signal for stop. 2.3. Shifting gears. Correct shifting of gears is important. If you can't get your vehicle into the right gear while driving, you will have less control. 2.3.1. Manual transmissions. Basic method for shifting up. Most heavy vehicles with manual transmissions require double clutching to change gears. This is the basic method. Release accelerator, push in clutch, and shift to neutral at the same time. Release clutch. Let engine and gears slow down to the RPM required for the next gear. This takes practice. Push in clutch and shift to the higher gear at the same time. Release clutch and press accelerator at the same time. Shifting gears using double clutching requires practice. If you remain too long in neutral, you may have difficulty putting the vehicle into the next gear. If so, don't try to force it. Return to neutral, release clutch, increase engine speed to match road speed, and try again. Knowing when to shift up. There are two ways of knowing when to shift. Use engine speed, RPM. Study the driver's manual for your vehicle and learn the operating RPM range. Watch your tachometer and shift up when your engine reaches the top of the range. Some newer vehicles use progressive shifting. The RPM at which you shift becomes higher as you move up in the gears. Find out what's right for the vehicle you will operate. Use road speed, MPH. Learn what speeds each gear is good for. Then, by using the speedometer, you'll know when to shift up. With either method, you may learn to use engine sounds to know when to shift. Basic procedures for shifting down. Release accelerator, push in clutch, and shift to neutral at the same time. Release clutch. Press accelerator, increase engine and gear speed to the RPM required in the lower gear. Push in clutch and shift to lower gear at the same time. Release clutch and press accelerator at the same time. Downshifting, like upshifting, requires knowing when to shift. Use either the tachometer or the speedometer and downshift at the right RPM or road speed. Special conditions where you should downshift are before starting down a hill. Slow down and shift down to a speed that you can control without using the brakes hard. Otherwise, the brakes can overheat and lose their braking power. Downshift before starting down the hill. Make sure you are in a low enough gear, usually lower than the gear required to climb the same hill. Before entering a curve, slow down to a safe speed and downshift to the right gear before entering the curve. This lets you use some power through the curve to help the vehicle be more stable while turning. It also allows you to speed up as soon as you are out of the curve. 2.3.2, multi-speed rear axles and auxiliary transmissions. Multi-speed rear axles and auxiliary transmissions are used on many vehicles to provide extra gears. You usually control them by a selector knob or switch on the gear shift lever of the main transmission. There are many different shift patterns. Learn the right way to shift gears in the vehicle you will drive. 2.3.3, automatic transmissions. Some vehicles have automatic transmissions. You can select a low range to get greater engine braking when going down grades. The lower ranges prevent the transmission from shifting up beyond the selected gear, unless the governor RPM is exceeded. It is very important to use this braking effect when going down grades. 2.3.4, retarders. Some vehicles have retarders. Retarders help slow a vehicle, reducing the need for using your brakes. They reduce brake wear and give you another way to slow down. There are four basic types of retarders: exhaust, engine, hydraulic, and electric. All retarders can be turned on or off by the driver. On some vehicles, the retarding power can be adjusted. When turned on, retarders apply their braking power to the drive wheels only whenever you let up on the accelerator pedal all the way. Because these devices can be noisy, be sure you know where their use is permitted. Caution. When your drive wheels have poor traction, the retarder may cause them to skid. Therefore, you should turn the retarder off whenever the road is wet, icy, or snow-covered. Subsections 2.2 and 2.3. Test your knowledge. 1. Why should you back toward the driver's side? 2. If stopped on a hill, how can you start moving without rolling back? 3. When backing, why is it important to use a helper? 4. What's the most important hand signal that you and the helper should agree on? 5. What are the two special conditions where you should downshift? 6. When should you downshift automatic transmissions? 7. Retarders keep you from skidding when the road is slippery. True or false? 8. What are the two ways to know when to shift? These questions may be on the test. If you can't answer them all, reread subsections 2.2 and 2.3. 2.4. Seeing. To be a safe driver, you need to know what's going on all around your vehicle. Not looking properly is a major cause of accidents. 2.4.1. Seeing ahead. All drivers look ahead, but many don't look far enough ahead. Importance of looking far enough ahead. Because stopping or changing lanes can take a lot of distance, knowing what the traffic is doing on all sides of you is very important. You need to look well ahead to make sure you have room to make these moves safely. How far ahead to look? Most good drivers look at least 12 to 15 seconds ahead. That means looking ahead the distance you will travel in 12 to 15 seconds. At lower speeds, that's about one block. At highway speeds, it's about a quarter of a mile. If you're not looking that far ahead, you may have to stop too quickly or make quick lane changes. Looking 12 to 15 seconds ahead doesn't mean not paying attention to things that are closer. Good drivers shift their attention back and forth, near and far. Figure 2.6 illustrates how far to look ahead. Picture on page 2-10, figure 2.6. City driving, 12 to 15 seconds is about one block. Open highway, 12 to 15 seconds is about a quarter mile. Continuing with the text. Look for traffic. Look for vehicles coming onto the highway, into your lane, or turning. Watch for brake lights from slowing vehicles. By seeing these things far enough ahead, you can change your speed or change lanes if necessary to avoid a problem. If a traffic light has been green for a long time, it will probably change before you get there. Start slowing down and be ready to stop. 2.4.2. Seeing to the sides and rear. It's important to know what's going on behind and to the sides. Check your mirrors regularly. Check more often in special situations. Mirror adjustment. Mirror adjustment should be checked prior to the start of any trip and can only be checked accurately when the trailer or trailers are straight. You should check and adjust each mirror to show some part of the vehicle. This will give you a reference point for judging the position of the other images. Regular checks. You need to make regular checks of your mirrors to be aware of traffic and to check your vehicle. Traffic. Check your mirrors for vehicles on either side and in back of you. In an emergency, you may need to know whether you can make a quick lane change. Use your mirrors to spot overtaking vehicles. There are blind spots that your mirrors cannot show you. Check your mirrors regularly to know where other vehicles are around you and to see if they move into your blind spots. Check your vehicle. Use the mirrors to keep an eye on your tires. It's one way to spot a tire fire. If you're carrying open cargo, you can use the mirrors to check it. Look for loose straps, ropes, or chains. Watch for a flapping or ballooning tarp. Special situations. Special situations require more than regular mirror checks. These are lane changes, turns, merges, and tight maneuvers. Lane changes. You need to check your mirrors to make sure no one is alongside you or about to pass you. Check your mirrors before you change lanes to make sure there is enough room. After you have signaled, to check that no one has moved into your blind spot. Right after you start the lane change, to double check that your path is clear. After you complete the lane change. Turns. In turns, check your mirrors to make sure the rear of your vehicle will not hit anything. Merges. When merging, use your mirrors to make sure the gap in traffic is large enough for you to enter safely. Tight maneuvers. Anytime you are driving in close quarters, check your mirrors often. Make sure you have enough clearance. How to use mirrors. Use mirrors correctly by checking them quickly and understanding what you see. When you use your mirrors while driving on the road, check quickly. Look back and forth between the mirrors and the road ahead. Don't focus on the mirrors for too long. Otherwise, you will travel quite a distance without knowing what's happening ahead. Many large vehicles have curved, convex, fisheye, spot, bug-eye, mirrors that show a wider area than flat mirrors. This is often helpful. But everything appears smaller in a convex mirror than it would if you were looking at it directly. Things also seem farther away than they really are. It's important to realize this and to allow for it. Figure 2.7 shows the field of vision using a convex mirror. Picture on page 2-11, figure 2.7, field of vision using a convex mirror. Driver, convex mirror view, plane mirror view, blind spot area, plane mirror view, convex mirror view. Continuing with the text. 2.5, communicating. 2.5.1, signal your intentions. Other drivers can't know what you are going to do until you tell them. Signaling what you intend to do is important for safety. Here are some general rules for signaling. Turns. There are three good rules for using turn signals. Signal early. Signal well before you turn. It is the best way to keep others from trying to pass you. Signal continuously. You need both hands on the wheel to turn safely. Don't cancel the signal until you have completed the turn. Cancel your signal. Don't forget to turn off your turn signal after you've turned if you don't have self-canceling signals. Lane changes. Put your turn signal on before changing lanes. Change lanes slowly and smoothly. That way a driver you didn't see may have a chance to honk his or her horn or avoid your vehicle. Slowing down. Warn drivers behind you when you see you'll need to slow down. A few light taps on the brake pedal, enough to flash the brake lights, should warn following drivers. Use the four-way emergency flashers for times when you are driving very slowly or are stopped. Warn other drivers in any of the following situations. Trouble ahead. The size of your vehicle may make it hard for drivers behind you to see hazards ahead. If you see a hazard that will require slowing down, warn the drivers behind by flashing your brake lights. Tight turns. Most car drivers don't know how slowly you have to go to make a tight turn in a large vehicle. Give drivers behind you warning by braking early and slowing gradually. Stopping on the road. Truck and bus drivers sometimes stop in the roadway to unload cargo or passengers, or to stop at a railroad crossing. Warn following drivers by flashing your brake lights. Don't stop suddenly. Driving slowly. Drivers often do not realize how fast they are catching up to a slow vehicle until they are very close. If you must drive slowly, alert following drivers by turning on your emergency flashers if it is legal. Laws regarding the use of flashers differ from one state to another. Check the laws of the states where you will drive. Don't direct traffic. Some drivers try to help out others by signaling when it is safe to pass. You should not do this. You could cause an accident. You could be blamed, and it could cost you thousands of dollars. 2.5.2, communicating your presence. Other drivers may not notice your vehicle even when it's in plain sight. To help prevent accidents, let them know you're there. When passing, whenever you are about to pass a vehicle, pedestrian, or bicyclist, assume they don't see you. They could suddenly move in front of you. When it is legal, tap the horn lightly or, at night, flash your lights from low to high beam and back. And drive carefully enough to avoid a crash even if they don't see or hear you. When it's hard to see, at dawn, dusk, in rain, or snow, you need to make yourself easier to see. If you are having trouble seeing other vehicles, other drivers will have trouble seeing you. Turn on your lights. Use the headlights, not just the identification or clearance lights. Use the low beams. High beams can bother people in the daytime as well as at night. When parked at the side of the road. When you pull off the road and stop, be sure to turn on the four-way emergency flashers. This is important at night. Don't trust the taillights to give warning. Drivers have crashed into the rear of a parked vehicle because they thought it was moving normally. If you must stop on a road or the shoulder of any road, you must put out your emergency warning devices within 10 minutes. Place your warning devices at the following locations. If you must stop on or by a one-way or divided highway, place warning devices 10 feet, 100 feet, and 200 feet toward the approaching traffic. See Figure 2.8. Picture on page 2-12, Figure 2.8, one-way or divided highway, 10 feet, 100 feet, 200 feet. Continuing with the text. If you stop on a two-lane road carrying traffic in both directions or on an undivided highway, place warning devices within 10 feet of the front or rear corners to mark the location of the vehicle and 100 feet behind and ahead of the vehicle on the shoulder or in the lane you stopped in. See Figure 2.9. Picture on page 2-12, Figure 2.9, two-way or undivided highway, 100 feet, 10 feet, 100 feet. Continuing with the text. Back beyond any hill, curve, or other obstruction that prevents other drivers from seeing the vehicle within 500 feet. If line-of-sight view is obstructed due to hill or curve, move the rearmost triangle to a point back down the road so warning is provided. See Figure 2.10. Picture on page 2-12, Figure 2.10, obstructed view. 100 feet through 500 feet, 10 feet. 10 feet, 100 feet through 500 feet. Continuing with the text. When putting out the triangles, hold them between yourself and the oncoming traffic for your own safety, so other drivers can see you. Use your horn when needed. Your horn can let others know you're there. It can help to avoid a crash. Use your horn when needed. However, it can startle others and could be dangerous when used unnecessarily. 2.6. Controlling speed. Driving too fast is a major cause of fatal crashes. You must adjust your speed depending on driving conditions. These include traction, curves, visibility, traffic, and hills. 2.6.1, stopping distance. Perception distance plus reaction distance plus braking distance equals total stopping distance. Perception distance. The distance your vehicle travels, in ideal conditions, from the time your eyes see a hazard until your brain recognizes it. Keep in mind, certain mental and physical conditions can affect your perception distance. It can be affected greatly depending on visibility and the hazard itself. The average perception time for an alert driver is 1 3/4 seconds. At 55 mph, this accounts for 142 feet traveled. Reaction distance. The distance you will continue to travel, in ideal conditions, before you physically hit the brakes in response to a hazard seen ahead. The average driver has a reaction time of 3/4 second to 1 second. At 55 mph, this accounts for 61 feet traveled. Braking distance. The distance your vehicle will travel, in ideal conditions, while you are braking. At 55 mph on dry pavement with good brakes, it can take about 216 feet. Total stopping distance. The total minimum distance your vehicle has traveled, in ideal conditions, with everything considered, including perception distance, reaction distance, and braking distance, until you can bring your vehicle to a complete stop. At 55 mph, your vehicle will travel a minimum of 419 feet. The effect of speed on stopping distance. The faster you drive, the greater the impact or striking power of your vehicle. When you double your speed from 20 to 40 mph, the impact is 4 times greater. The braking distance is also 4 times longer. Triple the speed from 20 to 60 mph, and the impact and braking distance is 9 times greater. At 60 mph, your stopping distance is greater than the length of a football field. Increase the speed to 80 mph, and the impact and braking distance are 16 times greater than at 20 mph. High speeds greatly increase the severity of crashes and stopping distances. By slowing down, you can reduce braking distance. The effect of vehicle weight on stopping distance. The heavier the vehicle, the more work the brakes must do to stop it, and the more heat they absorb. But the brakes, tires, springs, and shock absorbers on heavy vehicles are designed to work best when the vehicle is fully loaded. Empty trucks require greater stopping distances because an empty vehicle has less traction. Graph on page 2-13, figure 2.11. mph, 15. Perception distance, 39 feet. Reaction distance, 16 feet. Braking distance, 17 feet. 72 feet total stopping distance. mph, 25. Perception distance, 65 feet. Reaction distance, 28 feet. Braking distance, 47 feet. 140 feet total distance. mph, 35. Perception distance, 91 feet. Reaction distance, 39 feet. Braking distance, 92 feet, 222 feet total stopping distance. mph, 45. Perception distance, 117 feet. Reaction distance, 50 feet. Braking distance, 152 feet, 319 feet total stopping distance. mph, 55. Perception distance, 142 feet. Reaction distance, 61 feet. Braking distance, 216 feet. 419 feet total stopping distance. Continuing with the text. 2.6.2, matching speed to the road surface. You can't steer or brake a vehicle unless you have traction. Traction is friction between the tires and the road. There are some road conditions that reduce traction and call for lower speeds. Slippery surfaces. It will take longer to stop, and it will be harder to turn without skidding when the road is slippery. Wet roads can double stopping distance. You must drive slower to be able to stop in the same distance as on a dry road. Reduce speed by about one-third, e.g., slow from 55 to about 35 mph on a wet road. On packed snow, reduce speed by a half or more. If the surface is icy, reduce speed to a crawl and stop driving as soon as you can safely do so. Identifying slippery surfaces. Sometimes it's hard to know if the road is slippery. Here are some signs of slippery roads. Shaded areas. Shady parts of the road will remain icy and slippery long after open areas have melted. Bridges. When the temperature drops, bridges will freeze before the road will. Be especially careful when the temperature is close to 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Melting ice. Slight melting will make ice wet. Wet ice is much more slippery than ice that is not wet. Black ice. Black ice is a thin layer that is clear enough that you can see the road underneath it. It makes the road look wet. Anytime the temperature is below freezing and the road looks wet, watch out for black ice. Vehicle icing. An easy way to check for ice is to open the window and feel the front of the mirror, mirror support, or antenna. If there's ice on these, the road surface is probably starting to ice up. Just after rain begins. Right after it starts to rain, the water mixes with oil left on the road by vehicles. This makes the road very slippery. If the rain continues, it will wash the oil away. Hydroplaning. In some weather, water or slush collects on the road. When this happens, your vehicle can hydroplane. It's like water skiing. The tires lose their contact with the road and have little or no traction. You may not be able to steer or brake. You can regain control by releasing the accelerator and pushing in the clutch. This will slow your vehicle and let the wheels turn freely. If the vehicle is hydroplaning, do not use the brakes to slow down. If the drive wheels start to skid, push in the clutch to let them turn freely. It does not take a lot of water to cause hydroplaning. Hydroplaning can occur at speeds as low as 30 mph if there is a lot of water. Hydroplaning is more likely if tire pressure is low or the tread is worn. The grooves in a tire carry away the water. If they aren't deep, they don't work well. Road surfaces where water can collect can create conditions that cause a vehicle to hydroplane. Watch for clear reflections, tire splashes, and raindrops on the road. These are indications of standing water. 2.6.3 Speed and Curves. Drivers must adjust their speed for curves in the road. If you take a curve too fast, two things can happen. The tires can lose their traction and continue straight ahead, so you skid off the road. Or, the tires may keep their traction and the vehicle rolls over. Tests have shown that trucks with a high center of gravity can roll over at the posted speed limit for a curve. Slow to a safe speed before you enter a curve. Braking in a curve is dangerous because it is easier to lock the wheels and cause a skid. Slow down as needed. Don't ever exceed the posted speed limit for the curve. Be in a gear that will let you accelerate slightly in the curve. This will help you keep control. 2.6.4 Speed and Distance Ahead. You should always be able to stop within the distance you can see ahead. Fog, rain, or other conditions may require that you slow down to be able to stop in the distance you can see. At night, you can't see as far with low beams as you can with high beams. When you must use low beams, slow down. 2.6.5 Speed and Traffic Flow. When you're driving in heavy traffic, the safest speed is the speed of other vehicles. Vehicles going the same direction at the same speed are not likely to run into one another. In many states, speed limits are lower for trucks and buses than for cars. It can vary as much as 15 mph. Use extra caution when you change lanes or pass on these roadways. Drive at the speed of the traffic if you can without going at an illegal or unsafe speed. Keep a safe following distance. The main reason drivers exceed speed limits is to save time. But anyone trying to drive faster than the speed of traffic will not be able to save much time. The risks involved are not worth it. If you go faster than the speed of other traffic, you'll have to keep passing other vehicles. This increases the chance of a crash, and it is more tiring. Fatigue increases the chance of a crash. Going with the flow of traffic is safer and easier. 2.6.6. Speed on downgrades. Your vehicle's speed will increase on downgrades because of gravity. Your most important objective is to select and maintain a speed that is not too fast for the total weight of the vehicle and cargo, length of the grade, steepness of the grade, road conditions, weather. If a speed limit is posted, or there is a sign indicating maximum safe speed, never exceed the speed shown. Also, look for and heed warning signs indicating the length and steepness of the grade. You must use the braking effect of the engine as the principal way of controlling your speed on downgrades. The braking effect of the engine is greatest when it is near the governed RPMs and the transmission is in the lower gears. Save your brakes so you will be able to slow or stop as required by road and traffic conditions. Shift your transmission to a low gear before starting down the grade and use the proper braking techniques. Please read carefully the section on going down long, steep downgrades safely in mountain driving. 2.6.7. Roadway work zones. Speeding traffic is the number one cause of injury and death in roadway work zones. Observe the posted speed limits at all times when approaching and driving through a work zone. Watch your speedometer and don't allow your speed to creep up as you drive through long sections of road construction. Decrease your speed for adverse weather or road conditions. Decrease your speed even further when a worker is close to the roadway. Subsections 2.4, 2.5, and 2.6 test your knowledge. 1. How far ahead does the manual say you should look? 2. What are two main things to look for ahead? 3. What's your most important way to see the sides and rear of your vehicle? 4. What does communicating mean in safe driving? 5. Where should your reflectors be placed when stopped on a divided highway? 6. What three things add up to total stopping distance? 7. If you go twice as fast, will your stopping distance increase by 2 or 4 times? 8. Empty trucks have the best braking. True or false? 9. What is hydroplaning? 10. What is black ice? These questions may be on the test. If you can't answer them all, reread subsections 2.4, 2.5, and 2.6. 2.7. Managing space. To be a safe driver, you need space all around your vehicle. When things go wrong, space gives you time to think and to take action. To have space available when something goes wrong, you need to manage space. While this is true for all drivers, it is very important for large vehicles. They take up more space and they require more space for stopping and turning. 2.7.1. Space ahead. Of all the space around your vehicle, it is the area ahead of the vehicle, the space you're driving into, that is most important. The need for space ahead. You need space ahead in case you must suddenly stop. According to accident reports, the vehicle that trucks and buses most often run into is the one in front of them. The most frequent cause is following too closely. Remember, if the vehicle ahead of you is smaller than yours, it can probably stop faster than you can. You may crash if you are following too closely. How much space? How much space should you keep in front of you? One good rule says you need at least 1 second for each 10 feet of vehicle length that speeds below 40 mph. At greater speeds, you must add 1 second for safety. For example, if you are driving a 40-foot vehicle, you should leave 4 seconds between you and the vehicle ahead. In a 60-foot rig, you'll need 6 seconds. Over 40 mph, you'll need 5 seconds for a 40-foot vehicle and 7 seconds for a 60-foot vehicle. See Figure 2.12. To know how much space you have, wait until the vehicle ahead passes a shadow on the road, a pavement marking, or some other clear landmark. Then count off the seconds like this, 1001, 1002, and so on, until you reach the same spot. Compare your count with the rule of 1 second for every 10 feet of length. If you are driving a 40-foot truck and only counted up to 2 seconds, you're too close. Drop back a little and count again until you have 4 seconds of following distance, or 5 seconds if you're going over 40 mph. After a little practice, you will know how far back you should be. Remember to add 1 second for speeds above 40 mph. Also remember that when the road is slippery, you need much more space to stop. Picture on page 2-15, figure 2.12, heavy vehicle formula for timed interval following distance. 1 second required for each 10 feet of vehicle length that speeds under 40 mph. Above 40 mph, use same formula, then add 1 second for the additional speed. 40-foot truck, under 40 mph, equals 4 seconds. 50-foot truck, above 40 mph, equals 6 seconds. 60-foot truck, under 40 mph, equals 6 seconds. Continuing with the text. 2.7.2, space behind. You can't stop others from following you too closely, but there are things you can do to make it safer. Stay to the right. Heavy vehicles are often tailgated when they can't keep up with the speed of traffic. This often happens when you're going uphill. If a heavy load is slowing you down, stay in the right lane if you can. Going uphill, you should not pass another slow vehicle unless you can get around quickly and safely. Dealing with tailgaters safely. In a large vehicle, it's often hard to see whether a vehicle is close behind you. You may be tailgated when you are driving slowly. Drivers trapped behind slow vehicles often follow closely. In bad weather. Many car drivers follow large vehicles closely during bad weather, especially when it is hard to see the road ahead. If you find yourself being tailgated, here are some things you can do to reduce the chances of a crash. Avoid quick changes. If you have to slow down or turn, signal early and reduce speed very gradually. Increase your following distance. Opening up room in front of you will help you to avoid having to make sudden speed or direction changes. It also makes it easier for the tailgater to get around you. Don't speed up. It's safer to be tailgated at a low speed than a high speed. Avoid tricks. Don't turn on your taillights or flash your brake lights. Follow the suggestions above. 2.7.3, space to the sides. Commercial vehicles are often wide and take up most of a lane. Safe drivers will manage what little space they have. You can do this by keeping your vehicle centered in your lane and avoid driving alongside others. Staying centered in a lane. You need to keep your vehicle centered in the lane to keep safe clearance on either side. If your vehicle is wide, you have little room to spare. Traveling next to others. There are two dangers in traveling alongside other vehicles. Another driver may change lanes suddenly and turn into you. You may be trapped when you need to change lanes. Find an open spot where you aren't near other traffic. When traffic is heavy, it may be hard to find an open spot. If you must travel near other vehicles, try to keep as much space as possible between you and them. Also, drop back, or pull forward so that you are sure the other driver can see you. Strong winds. Strong winds make it difficult to stay in your lane. The problem is usually worse for lighter vehicles. This problem can be especially bad coming out of tunnels. Don't drive alongside others if you can avoid it. 2.7.4, space overhead. Hitting overhead objects is a danger. Make sure you always have overhead clearance. Don't assume that the heights posted at bridges and overpasses are correct. Repaving or packed snow may have reduced the clearances since the heights were posted. The weight of a cargo van changes its height. An empty van is higher than a loaded one. That you got under a bridge when you were loaded does not mean that you can do it when you are empty. If you doubt you have safe space to pass under an object, go slowly. If you aren't sure you can make it, take another route. Warnings are often posted on low bridges or underpasses, but sometimes they are not. Some roads can cause a vehicle to tilt. There can be a problem clearing objects along the edge of the road, such as signs, trees, or bridge supports. Where this is a problem, drive a little closer to the center of the road. Before you back into an area, get out and check for overhanging objects such as trees, branches, or electric wires. It's easy to miss seeing them while you are backing. Also check for other hazards at the same time. 2.7.5. Space below. Many drivers forget about the space under their vehicles. That space can be very small when a vehicle is heavily loaded. This is often a problem on dirt roads and in unpaved yards. Don't take a chance on getting hung up. Drainage channels across roads can cause the ends of some vehicles to drag. Cross such depressions carefully. Railroad tracks can also cause problems, particularly when pulling trailers with a low underneath clearance. Don't take a chance on getting hung up halfway across. 2.7.6, space for turns. The space around a truck or bus is important in turns. Because of wide turning and off-tracking, large vehicles can hit other vehicles or objects during turns. Right turns. Here are some rules to help prevent right turn crashes. Turn slowly to give yourself and others more time to avoid problems. If you are driving a truck or bus that cannot make the right turn without swinging into another lane, turn wide as you complete the turn. Keep the rear of your vehicle close to the curb. This will stop other drivers from passing you on the right. Don't turn wide to the left as you start the turn. A following driver may think you are turning left and try to pass you on the right. You may crash into the other vehicle as you complete your turn. If you must cross into the oncoming lane to make a turn, watch out for vehicles coming toward you. Give them room to go by or to stop. However, don't back up for them because you might hit someone behind you. See Figure 2.13. Picture on page 2-17, Figure 2.13. Highlighted items. Jug handle, incorrect. Button hook, correct. Continuing with the text. Left turns. On a left turn, make sure you have reached the center of the intersection before you start the left turn. If you turn too soon, the left side of your vehicle may hit another vehicle because of off-tracking. If there are two turning lanes, always take the right turn lane. Don't start in the inside lane because you may have to swing right to make the turn. Drivers on your left can be more readily seen. See Figure 2.14. Picture on page 2-17, Figure 2.14, no caption. Continuing with the text. 2.7.7, space needed to cross or enter traffic. Be aware of the size and weight of your vehicle when you cross or enter traffic. Here are some important things to keep in mind. Because of slow acceleration and the space large vehicles require, you may need a much larger gap to enter traffic than you would in a car. Acceleration varies with the load. allow more room if your vehicle is heavily loaded. Before you start across a road, make sure you can get all the way across before traffic reaches you. 2.8. Seeing hazards. 2.8.1. Importance of seeing hazards. What is a hazard? A hazard is any road condition or other road user, driver, bicyclist, pedestrian, that is a possible danger. For example, a car in front of you is headed toward the freeway exit, but his brake lights come on and he begins braking hard. This could mean that the driver is uncertain about taking the off-ramp. He might suddenly return to the highway. This car is a hazard. If the driver of the car cuts in front of you, it is no longer just a hazard. It is an emergency. Seeing hazards lets you be prepared. You will have more time to act if you see hazards before they become emergencies. In the example above, you might make a lane change or slow down to prevent a crash if the car suddenly cuts in front of you. Seeing this hazard gives you time to check your mirrors and signal a lane change. Being prepared reduces the danger. A driver who did not see the hazard until the slow car pulled back on the highway in front of him would have to do something very suddenly. Sudden braking or a quick lane change is much more likely to lead to a crash. Learning to see hazards. There are often clues that will help you see hazards. The more you drive, the better you can learn to see hazards. This section will talk about hazards that you should be aware of. Move over laws. Law enforcement officers, emergency medical services, fire department personnel, and highway workers are being struck by other vehicle drivers at an increasing rate. To lessen the problem, move over laws that require drivers to slow down and change lanes when approaching a roadside incident or emergency vehicle have been enacted. When approaching an authorized emergency vehicle stopped on the roadside or a work zone, you should proceed with caution by slowing down and yielding the right of way by making a lane change into a lane that is not adjacent to that of the authorized emergency vehicle or work zone. If a lane change is unsafe, slow down and proceed with caution while maintaining a safe distance for the roadside personnel. 2.8.2. Hazardous roads. Slow down and be very careful if you see any of the following road hazards. Work zones. When people are working on the road, it is a hazard. There may be narrower lanes, sharp turns, or uneven surfaces. Other drivers are often distracted and drive unsafely. Workers and construction vehicles may get in the way. Drive slowly and carefully near work zones. Use your four-way flashers or brake lights to warn drivers behind you. Drop-off. Sometimes the pavement drops off sharply near the edge of the road. Driving too near the edge can tilt your vehicle toward the side of the road. This can cause the top of your vehicle to hit roadside objects, signs, tree limbs. Also, it can be hard to steer as you cross the drop-off, going off the road or coming back on. Foreign objects. Things that have fallen on the road can be hazards. They can be a danger to your tires and wheel rims. They can damage electrical and brake lines. They can be caught between dual tires and cause severe damage. Some obstacles that appear to be harmless can be very dangerous. For example, cardboard boxes may be empty, but they may also contain some solid or heavy material capable of causing damage. The same is true of paper and cloth sacks. It is important to remain alert for objects of all sorts so you can see them early enough to avoid them without making sudden, unsafe moves. Off-ramps and on-ramps. Freeway and turnpike exits can be particularly dangerous for commercial vehicles. Off-ramps and on-ramps often have speed limit signs posted. Remember, these speeds may be safe for automobiles, but may not be safe for larger vehicles or heavily loaded vehicles. Exits that go downhill and turn at the same time can be especially dangerous. The downgrade makes it difficult to reduce speed. Braking and turning at the same time can be a dangerous practice. Make sure you are going slowly enough before you get on the curved part of an off-ramp or on-ramp. 2.8.3, drivers who are hazards. In order to protect yourself and others, you must know when other drivers may do something hazardous. Some clues to this type of hazard are discussed below. Blocked vision. People who can't see others are a very dangerous hazard. Be alert for drivers whose vision is blocked. Vans, loaded station wagons, and cars with the rear window blocked are examples. Rental trucks should be watched carefully. Their drivers are often not used to the limited vision they have to the sides and rear of the truck. In winter, vehicles with frosted, ice-covered, or snow-covered windows are hazards. Vehicles may be partly hidden by blind intersections or alleys. If you only can see the rear or front end of a vehicle but not the driver, then he or she can't see you. Be alert because he or she may back out or enter into your lane. Always be prepared to stop. Delivery trucks can present a hazard. Packages or vehicle doors often block the driver's vision. Drivers of step vans, postal vehicles, and local delivery vehicles often are in a hurry and may suddenly step out of their vehicle or drive their vehicle into the traffic lane. Parked vehicles can be hazards, especially when people start to get out of them. Or they may suddenly start up and drive into your way. Watch for movement inside the vehicle or movement of the vehicle itself that shows people are inside. Watch for brake lights or backup lights, exhaust, and other clues that a driver is about to move. Be careful of a stopped bus. Passengers may cross in front of or behind the bus, and they often can't see you. Pedestrians and bicyclists can also be hazards. Walkers, joggers, and bicyclists may be on the road with their back to the traffic so they can't see you. Sometimes they wear portable stereos with headsets so they can't hear you either. This can be dangerous. On rainy days, pedestrians may not see you because of hats or umbrellas. They may be hurrying to get out of the rain and may not pay attention to the traffic. Distractions. People who are distracted are hazards. Watch for where they are looking. If they are looking elsewhere, they can't see you. But be alert even when they are looking at you. They may believe that they have the right of way. Children. Children tend to act quickly without checking traffic. Children playing with one another may not look for traffic and are a serious hazard. Talkers. Drivers or pedestrians talking to one another may not be paying close attention to the traffic. Workers. People working on or near the roadway are a hazard clue. The work creates a distraction for other drivers, and the workers themselves may not see you. Ice cream trucks. Someone selling ice cream is a hazard clue. Children may be nearby and may not see you. Disabled vehicles. Drivers changing a tire or fixing an engine often do not pay attention to the danger that roadway traffic is to them. They are often careless. Jacked up wheels or raised hoods are hazard clues. Accidents. Accidents are particularly hazardous. People involved in the accident may not look for traffic. Passing drivers tend to look at the accident. People often run across the road without looking. Vehicles may slow or stop suddenly. Shoppers. People in and around shopping areas are often not watching traffic because they are looking for stores or looking into store windows. Confused drivers. Confused drivers often change direction suddenly or stop without warning. Confusion is common near freeway or turnpike interchanges and major intersections. Tourists unfamiliar with the area can be very hazardous. Clues to tourists include car top luggage and out-of-state license plates. Unexpected actions, stopping in the middle of a block, changing lanes for no apparent reason, backup lights suddenly going on, are clues to confusion. Hesitation is another clue, including driving very slowly, using brakes often, or stopping in the middle of an intersection. You may also see drivers who are looking at street signs, maps, and house numbers. These drivers may not be paying attention to you. Slow drivers. Motorists who fail to maintain normal speed are hazards. Seeing slow-moving vehicles early can prevent a crash. Some vehicles, by their nature, are slow, and seeing them is a hazard clue. Mopeds, farm machinery, construction machinery, tractors, etc. Some of these will have the slow-moving vehicle symbol to warn you. This is a red triangle with an orange center. Watch for it. Drivers signaling a turn may be a hazard. Drivers signaling a turn may slow more than expected or stop. If they are making a tight turn into an alley or driveway, they may go very slowly. If pedestrians or other vehicles block them, they may have to stop on the roadway. Vehicles turning left may have to stop for oncoming vehicles. Drivers in a hurry. Drivers may feel your commercial vehicle is preventing them from getting where they want to go on time. Such drivers may pass you without a safe gap in the oncoming traffic, cutting too close in front of you. Drivers entering the road may pull in front of you in order to avoid being stuck behind you, causing you to brake. Be aware of this and watch for drivers who are in a hurry. Impaired drivers. Drivers who are sleepy, have had too much to drink, are on drugs, or who are ill are hazards. Some clues to these drivers are weaving across the road or drifting from one side to another. Leaving the road, dropping right wheels onto the shoulder or bumping across a curb in a turn. Stopping at the wrong time. Stopping at a green light or waiting for too long at a stop. Open window in cold weather. Speeding up or slowing down suddenly, driving too fast or too slow. Be alert for drunk drivers and sleepy drivers late at night. Driver body movement as a clue. Drivers look in the direction they are going to turn. You may sometimes get a clue from a driver's head and body movements that a driver may be going to make a turn, even though the turn signals aren't on. Drivers making over-the-shoulder checks may be going to change lanes. These clues are most easily seen in motorcyclists and bicyclists. Watch other road users and try to tell whether they might do something hazardous. Conflicts. You're in conflict when you have to change speed and/or direction to avoid hitting someone. Conflicts occur at intersections where vehicles meet, at merges, such as turnpike on-ramps, and where there are needed lane changes, such as the end of a lane, forcing a move into another lane of traffic. Other situations include slow-moving or stalled traffic in a traffic lane and accident scenes. Watch for other drivers who are in conflict because they are a hazard to you. When they react to this conflict, they may do something that will put them in conflict with you. 2.8.4. Always have a plan. You should always be looking for hazards. Continue to learn to see hazards on the road. However, don't forget why you are looking for the hazards. They may turn into emergencies. You look for the hazards in order to have time to plan a way out of any emergency. When you see a hazard, think about the emergencies that could develop and figure out what you would do. Always be prepared to take action based on your plans. In this way, you will be a prepared, defensive driver who will improve your own safety as well as the safety of all road users. Subsections 2.7 and 2.8. Test your knowledge. 1. How do you find out how many seconds of following distance space you have? 2. If you are driving a 30-foot vehicle at 55 mph, how many seconds of following distance should you allow? 3. You should decrease your following distance if somebody is following you too closely. True or false? 4. If you swing wide to the left before turning right, another driver may try to pass you on the right. True or false? 5. What is a hazard? 6. Why make emergency plans when you see a hazard? These questions may be on the test. If you can't answer them all, reread subsections 2.7 and 2.8.